I invite you to take your Bible to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Incidentally, I'll interject before I read the whole verse. The word "study" is in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. God is commanding this. It's not like this is a good suggestion, but it's actually in the imperative mood, which is saying, you must do this. I command you to study, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's no question that we are to be students of the Bible. Study to rightly divide the word of truth. To rightly divide the word of truth. The word divide or rightly divide literally means to cut it straight or to make sure it's, you know, put in the right place. To teach the truth directly and correctly. All right, so God calls us to be diligent students of His Word, that we might be pleasing servants of His, faithful in living, accurately teaching, and correctly applying His inerrant Word. And so the Bible is our foundation. You know what? This needs to be a critical part of our daily life. It really does. And that's what we've been, you know, for really the last several months, with a little bit of times of some other series in there with the wonderful celebration of the Easter season. We had a little intermission from the study on the Bible. But we've had a lot of study in the last several months on the Scriptures, on the Word of God. And in this study, last week and this week, we are talking about how to study the Bible. Because you know what? If you can get someone into their Bible, it will change their life. It really will. If we give our attention to God, of course we need to obey it, but if we give our attention to God, it will change our life. It will change the way we live. It will work. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It knows. God's Word is living, and it knows how to do surgery, delicate surgery in our life. God shows us what's right. We read that passage here at the beginning of the service from 2 Timothy chapter 3, that the Word of God is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. That is what's right. It's profitable for reproof. That's what's wrong. God's Word will show you what's right. God's Word will show you what's wrong. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That's important. That's how to get your wrongs right. Okay? Reproof shows you what's wrong. Correction helps you get it right. Helps you get out of the ditch. And instruction in righteousness, that helps you to stay right. And so God's Word is profitable that we might be a mature Christian. A victorious Christian you will never be if you don't get into your Bible. If you don't know God well and you don't know His Word well, you will not be a victorious Christian. We need to get into God's Word and walk with God. That is critical for us to be a victorious Christian. Now, these are a lot of notes here, and I'm going to do a very quick review, just hitting some of the main points. How to study the Bible. We talked about first of all, we need to familiarize ourselves with the passage. And I hope that you are really going to, both you were here last week and you've got these notes and we went through it. By the way, that message is on our website. You can listen through that and I'll go in more detail as I did last week. You can listen to the more detailed message on how to study the Bible. But we need to familiarize ourselves. If we're going to actually take God's Word seriously, we need to actually familiarize ourselves with a passage that we are studying, that we are going to look at further You can't go deeper if you aren't even familiar with it. So it's important to read God's word. You know what? If you simply start reading God's word every day, even just that's going to make a difference in your life. God's going to work on your thinking. God is going to show you things. And as you encounter the challenges of daily life, and if you can be reading God's word daily, there's going to be some things God's going to show you. There's going to be some changes. There's going to be some conviction. There's going to be some encouragement. There's going to be just lots of things that God is going to do just by reading his word. But if we're going to study a passage, if we're going to study a verse, which is very important to do, to know what it says, we need to familiarize ourselves with it. Read it over numerous times, even over a course of several days or a week. And more could be said there, but I got to just hit some highlights. We need to utilize a notebook. If we're going to sit down and, 30 minutes before we go to bed, instead of watching, a movie or something like that, or playing a video game or surfing, doing Facebook or something, whatever it would be that we would employ, or eating a bowl of ice cream, Well, you could eat ice cream and study your Bible. That's a good combination. But study the Word of God. Spend some time. If we don't give our attention to God, we're not going to grow much. So use a notebook. Very simple. You need a notebook because you need to write some things down. You need to be able to jot some references down, different places and different words that you want to look up the meaning of, or their key words you want to research a little further, where they're used in the rest of Scripture and how they're used. Very important. That's critical. The greatest thing that I have when I study God's Word is not a pile of books that men have written about the Bible. It really isn't. It's all basic tools that basically are defining words and helping me to see where that same word is used somewhere else. That's it. That's really it. And that's where we need to start. And that's the best way to study God's word. Not what men have written about the Bible, but what the Bible says. And really digging in, what does it say? And really seeing that. And so that's what this is all about. So get a notebook. You need that. Number three, define unfamiliar and key words. All right? That's very important to look words up. You may say, hey, well, I've got, an easy read Bible. I don't need a dictionary. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, you're gonna get some really profitable things by using your King James Bible and studying a little bit. You're gonna find so much that's gonna bless your heart. I'll be very honest with you. So you want to define some words, you want to do that. You can use English dictionaries. I've listed a couple there. Webster's 1828. And the Merriam-Webster's dictionary as well. Both of those are good English dictionaries that I have personally found to be quite useful in studying the Word of God. The best way for me to study is to reference the underlying word in the original language. Okay? So, for example, the word study in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. The word study, I mean, I could look the word study up in an English dictionary. I think I have a pretty decent grasp of what it means, but it would probably be beneficial, all right? In fact, I think it did. But what's even more beneficial is to look up, in this case, the Greek word. Now, I don't know Greek. I took a couple years of it, but I really don't, I really couldn't say I know Greek. I just skimmed by and didn't fail. I mean, I did my best. I really did. I worked hard and just squeaked by. But you know what? I don't know Greek. I really don't. But by using some of the tools, you can see the underlying Greek word using the Strong's Concordance, and I've talked about that in these notes if you'll take the time to look at that, of how to access that. And that can be really helpful. And I can talk more about that, but the online Bible If you search online Bible in the App Store, if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can get that online Bible. And that is a really good, it's King James. It goes to the traditional text of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, and it's going to be a real helpful thing. And it's a pretty easy to use tool for anybody. All right? And so I highly recommend that. You need to have that. It's very important. And so you can look up the original language words pretty easily. And even more than that, you can not only see the definition of that word, but you can see where that word is used in other places in the Bible. And that's cool. That's where I get most of my cross-references. If I'm studying a passage, you look up that same Greek word by the number. You look that, you put that number in the search, and you find, whoa, that's used all these times. It's over here and over there and over there. And you read those verses, and some of them don't shed a lot of light. Some of them are like, ah, cool, that's really neat. That helps to understand that word and what this verse means. So, define key and unfamiliar words. Number four, ask the Lord for understanding. We've got to have God's help. The Bible is a spiritual book. It's spiritually discerned. You need God's help. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes. We need to come studying God's word, seeking the author. Lord, teach me. I need you. I need you to help me to understand what you're saying. Number five, consider the context of a passage. Very important. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the context. We need to cut it straight. The illustration of pieces of the puzzle, right? The pieces of the puzzle, that you need to get them in the right place. You put pieces of the puzzle in the wrong place, it messes up the picture. It messes up the whole puzzle. But when you get them in the right place, things start to come together. And that's what we need to do in studying God's word. Number six, compare the passage with the rest of Scripture. Very important. That is critical. I don't have time to labor on that. Number seven, rewrite or paraphrase the passage you are studying. To work with a text. You know, it's just like when I'm preaching, if we come across a word that I'm not sure you understand, or a word that I can share a little more light on. I mean, for example, the word study has a synonym could be, or a part of it anyway, is diligence. Like it's really giving your serious attention to. Like that's what study means, to really focus and be diligent, right? So those words help us to understand. Now, study is an example, and it's a word we are fairly familiar with, but understanding the aspects of diligence, understanding those things, and understanding that it's a command. So here, I paraphrase that in here. Notice in that box, we're in number seven, point number seven. And I have the verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, but then I paraphrased it. In other words, I wrote it out in some of my own words with the definitions in mind, with those kind of things. And so here it is. Due diligence to present yourself pleasing to the Lord. A servant that has no reason to be feeling shame, correctly using the inherent word. So I put it in different words that are good words, that are right words, that in some sense capture the original words. And so that can be helpful to work with the text, okay? Work with the text. It can be helpful to see the different aspects, okay? All right. So after you have done your homework, number eight, you should reference a commentary or two to further insight and cross-references. And notice the first word of point number eight. What is the first word of point number eight? Only. So The danger in studying the Bible is sometimes we come to a passage, we're like, what does this mean? Google it. No, don't. The internet is a hodgepodge of truth and error. You might come across something that is right, that is truth, but you know what? If you haven't done your homework, you won't be able to identify whether this is light or whether it's darkness, right? Whether it's misleading you from what God said or whether it's actually on the line of truth. And so it is important for you to do your homework first. I mean, there's some good old commentaries, but they are all written by men. They aren't inspired by God. They aren't His holy word. There's some good commentaries out there and from generations past that are a blessing. I mean, Matthew Henry's commentary, for example, just to name one, is a good commentary. It's more of a devotional commentary. I mean, he grabs a passage and you could just read the commentary for your devotions because it's a devotional reading in most cases. A good commentary is not going to just tell you some man's opinion about what the verse says, but it's actually going to say, well, this means this, and so this means this, and see what it says here and what it says here. And so it sheds some light from the Bible on that verse. So that's a good commentary that will point you to the scripture. But you should not reference a commentary until after you have done your homework, because otherwise you haven't studied. You don't know. But if you do some study, then if you want to reference a commentary to see, you know, some things that don't seem to make sense or click together, you can reference a commentary, and now you're armed with some foundation, okay? Some discernment, because you've looked those words up. You've seen how the context of the passage. You've compared other scripture already on that topic. And so that is critical. All right? God says His word is profitable in all these areas. God's word is important. And God has something for us in every part of His word. I mean, there are some passages in the Bible that are you know, not as loved as other portions. I understand that. You know, because they're different. God employs different things. But you know what? When we study God's word, when we read God's word, God has something for you. You know what? God doesn't want to be elusive. He wants you to find Him. But He says, you will not find me unless you search for me with all your heart. Notice point number two. We must give God our attention and ask some seeking questions. If you're not willing to seek God, you know, God has already reached out to you. If we're not willing to give our attention, if we have no desire to obey or change the direction of our life, you know, we're not going to hear God's voice. But if we want to know, I'll tell you what God wants you to know. God wants you to know His will for your life. If you're here and you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. God wants everybody in heaven. It doesn't matter what sinner you are. We're all sinners. Jesus came that all could be saved. God wants you to do His will. God wants me to walk with Him. And He wants you to walk with Him. He loves you. And He said, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Are we willing to give God our attention? Are we willing to seek Him? And so it's important to ask some questions. You know, you can learn a lot by asking questions. I mean, just of yourself in study. You know, I've asked questions. I mean, yeah, you can ask the basic question, what does this mean? You know, but if you're directing that question to God, that's helpful. Lord, I need you. You know, this is difficult. I'll tell you what, God's word is difficult in certain aspects. Not that there's, you know, the fact of the matter is children can understand many things just simply right there on the surface of God's word. But God's word has depth. There is depth. It's amazing. Children can be blessed by the word of God, by the simplicity of reading the scripture. Children can be blessed and God can speak to them because this book is living and powerful. The Spirit of God works through it. But you know what? There are also some difficult passages. There are also some difficult truths, some deep truths that God will reveal to us as we seek Him. If we want to grow, if we want to be grounded in His Word, we need to seek God. We need to ask some questions. So, what are some questions that we should be asking? Well, as we study a passage, as we have identified a passage, we're reading over it, we're familiarizing ourselves with it, we need to ask some of these questions. What is God revealing about Himself? Did you know that the Bible is all about God? It's all about God. God teaches us so much about Himself, about His own character, what He's like. And I'll tell you what, if you don't get to know God well, if you don't understand His character of how He judges sin and how he loves His children in spite of their sin, if you don't understand the unique things about God, that how He went out of His way and He gave of Himself so that sinners like you and I could be saved, even though He hates sin. You know, if you don't understand His character, His holiness, His faithfulness, we're going to not trust Him. The better you know someone, the more you will be able to trust them. Pretty well, frankly, if any of you here, you know, needed help and said, hey, I need to, you know, borrow something from you or whatever, you know, or like I have quite a level of trust, rightly or wrongly. No, I have quite a level of trust, right? Because I know you, most of you, to a certain extent, you know, but a perfect stranger, I mean, if they said, hey, can I borrow your truck or whatever? I was like, well, I'll help you, but, you know, I'm not going to give you the keys, you know, right? But the more you know someone, you say, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, you can use that. The same is true with God. The more we get to know Him, the more our trust will grow, the more our faith will grow in Him. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, that we need to grow in the knowledge of God. Let's turn over there, 2 Peter and chapter 3, verse 17. This is right at the end of the book, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants us to grow. We need to ask those questions when we're looking at a passage. What is this telling me about God? What is God showing me about Himself? Revelation 19, verse 10, in your notes, portion of the verse tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we come to Christianity, we're not coming to a set of rules and regulations. We're coming to a God who loves us. To a God who wants us to know Him. And so ask that question as you study His Word. What is God telling me about Himself in this passage, in this verse? And then another question to ask, is there a promise to claim or a command to keep? I mean, is God showing me something that I can just hold on to and say, Lord, you said, and that's why I have this confidence. You know what? If we, as the song says, standing on the promises of Christ my King, you know, through eternal ages, standing on the promises of God. You know what? If we don't know, as someone once said, if we don't know the, it's hard to stand on promises if you don't know what they are. That's why it's important for us to know what God said. What has God promised? What has He promised for my life? Well, I'll tell you what, one thing you can say is God hasn't promised you an easy road. Oh, that's not a promise I want to claim. But it's what He said. He said, I haven't promised you an easy road, but I promise my grace is sufficient. Right? Wow, that's a blessing. His grace will be sufficient for every need. You know what? His grace doesn't always feel. Notice I used the word feel. His grace doesn't always feel sufficient. But it is. I need to claim that promise. In trials, Lord, your grace, it encourages your trust in Him to supply your need. We can claim that promise. God promises that He'll hear our prayers if we're walking with Him, if we're right with Him, if we've confessed our sin, we're not harboring sin, harboring things against Him. If we have sought to be right with Him, God says He hears our prayers. And so many other things we could talk about. And so, what is God saying to me? Is there a promise here to claim? The psalmist in Psalm 119 numerous times expressed this sentiment that God's word is my hope. Lord, your word is my hope. Your word is my trust. You have caused me to hope in your word. Is God's word your hope? Is it your trust? In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, part of that says these things, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God has commanded us a lot of things. We need to ask that question. Not only is there a promise to claim, but is there a command to keep? And notice, His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know, if we were going to say, hey, I'm going to look up that word, I'm going to understand, what does this mean? What does this verse mean? You can do research on every one of these verses and every place in the Bible, and it will help you. What does it mean to be grievous? His commands are not grievous. I'm not going to give you the answer, but it's something you can look up. The next one. Next question to ask. What is God calling me to do? Now, we covered this a little bit in the command, what command is there to keep, but what is God calling me to do? Remember Matthew chapter 7? Let's go over there. Matthew 7. And notice verse 24. Jesus has just coming to the conclusion of a lengthy preaching and teaching time. It began in chapter 5 of Matthew, and it's known as the Sermon on the Mount, because He was standing on the mount and teaching the people. He began in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and as He comes to the end of His message, this is how He closes His message. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Remember, hear and do. Hear and do. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one, verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus says, you've all heard my word. How many of you are going to do it? That's what he says. He just preached a lengthy sermon. And he says, what are you going to do with what you've heard? Now, I'd be good. And I might even do a series on that Sermon on the Mount. It's a very profitable portion of Scripture. What did Jesus say? I mean, what is the immediate context to this admonition to hear and do, right? What did Jesus tell everybody to do? There's a lot of things. He touched on prayer. He touched on salvation. He touched on attitude we should have. He touched on a lot of things. What are we going to do? When we come to the Word of God, God is revealing something about Himself. He's revealing a promise to us. He's commanding us things. He's calling us to do things. It requires a response on our part. And on the last page I've given you, how can I make this truth part of my life today? You know, God's Word is a lamp to our feet, the Bible says, and a light to our path. How can this Word light my path today? You know, what is God saying to me? Don't ever read God's Word as if this is just another book on the shelf. Remember, God loves you. He's given His Word to you. God wants you to know Him more. He wants you to understand His truth. Will you seek Him with all your heart? Will you give Him the time of day? Studying the Word of God. Number three, and lastly, we must be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Doers of the Word. I have the verses written out here in your notes from James 1. God says to us, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That sounds like, you know, a person in a bad condition. If they're filthy and super, you know, overflowing with corruption, right? That sounds like a dude that's in a bad case, right? God says, put that away, that pride, that arrogance. And what does He say? Middle of verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word. You know what it means to graft something into, like a branch into a tree trunk? To graft that in? You're taking something that was never a part of that tree and you're putting it in there so that it can get the sap from that tree and bring forth fruit, right? Well, God says we need to receive His Word. Right? The engrafted Word. You know, sometimes a graft doesn't work, right? The tree doesn't receive it. They don't actually bond. And they die. Branch dies. Well, God says we need to receive His Word. Because it's able to save our souls. And verse 22, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Be ye doers, not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. I'm going to skip down to verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Read the last phrase there. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The blessing of God is with those who listen and obey His Word. So, God's Word is a part, needs to be a part of our daily life. You will never be a victorious Christian unless you get to know God and His Word well. And you won't get to know God well without His Word. And so this needs to be part of our daily life. Jesus called it our daily food, our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. How to study the Bible. If you have questions on that, I'm glad to share more information. Our time is up, but I would like to give you a project to study a passage of Scripture. I would like you to study John chapter 15. All right, it's homework. John chapter 15. It talks about the vine and the branches. All right? John chapter 15 is a great passage to study. You're going to want to familiarize yourself with it, reading through it numerous times. And pretty much from verse 1 down through verse 11 or so, I mean, you can go farther, but down through that neighborhood, the first 11 verses. John chapter 15. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Okay? That would be a good portion of Scripture to study. It'll be an important portion of Scripture to look up keywords, define those words. You're going to need a notebook. You're going to hopefully be able to utilize the online Bible app, which is specifically named Online Bible. All right? I'm not just saying Google. You know, I'm saying Online Bible. And you download that app if you're able to do that. That will be a help to you in studying that passage. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, for it shows us our need. It shows us our need for salvation, and it also shows us the answer to our need, that Jesus gave his life for us. It shows us that we can't be saved by our works like many are trying to be, but rather we're saved by your grace, by your work, and yours alone. Your word promises life eternal by simply putting our trust in you alone to save us. Lord, I thank you for that promise. I thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit that you give to those who do believe, that confirms with our spirit that we are the children of God. I thank you for giving us your holy word that we don't have to be in the dark, even though we're in a dark world, but we can walk in the light. We can live for Jesus. We can walk in victory. And Lord, help us, help each one here to draw closer to you, to seek you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.